feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we have just started looking at the famous story of David and Goliath. This story from 1 Samuel 17 is so well known that sometimes we need to be reminded it's a true story. It really happened. It's not just some fairy tale or children's story. Pastor John will have some important application for us, but as we join him today, we are still making our way through the story. Here now is Pastor John.
And verse 31, they spoke the same words again. And when the words were heard, which David said, that is, hey, why should we be afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine? And what's the prize going to be for the guy that gets the victory? They went, verse 31 says, and rehearsed these words in Saul's ear, the king's ear, saying, King Saul, there's a guy out there who's saying, why should we be afraid? And he's really interested in the prize that you're going to give that day. David was then brought before Saul. Saul sent for him. And David, verse 32, then said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Hey, I will go, your servant, me, David said, I'll go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth. You're a kid. And the man that you're going against is a man of war from his youth. You don't have a chance, David. You're just a kid, and he's been a giant of a guy and a hero in his country from the time he was a boy, you see. And David said to Saul, verse 34, hold on, Saul. Your servant, me, I kept my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb from the flock I was watching. And I went out after that lion and smote him and delivered the lamb from the mouth of the lion. And when that lion rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I'm not lion, David said. Bear with me. I'm not afraid. I've taken on the lion. I wiped out the bear. God has given me victory before. And he says, your servant slew both the lion and the bear, verse 36. So this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, shall be as one of them, seeing that he, Goliath, hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, listen, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul heard that. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul, feeling, I'm sure, bad about sending a boy into the battle, he armed David with his own armor. Saul gave to David Saul's armor. He put a helmet of brass on David's head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded Saul's sword upon his armor. And he was going to go, but now he stops. He's got Saul's helmet on. He's got Saul's sword at his side. He's got Saul's coat of mail round about. And he stops. And he says in verse 39, David said to Saul, I can't go with these. I haven't proved them. I haven't used a sword like this before. I haven't worn a coat of mail previously. This isn't who I am. This isn't what I do. I can't go with this stuff. I haven't used these things before. And David, watch this, put them off. He took off the helmet. He laid down the sword. He removed the coat of mail. And then he took what he was comfortable with. Verse 40, he took a stick, a staff. A shepherd would use a staff to work with the sheep. And he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, and his sling was in his hand. This really happened. I mean, here's a little guy, a young boy, a young man, going to the brook, grabbing 5 smooth stones to do battle with a guy that's perhaps 11 feet tall. Why 5? Because 5 is the number in the Bible of grace. David knew that the victory was going to come, not because he's wearing Saul's armor, but because of God's grace. Grace is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. And David realizes victory is going to come, not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of God's grace. 5 is the number of grace, 5 stones. But wait, perhaps even more important than that is this. Why 5 stones? Did David think it was going to take 5 shots to bring down the big guy? I don't think so. But you see, Goliath had 4 brothers, and they were giants too. And what is being said here is, hey, if you guys decide to WWF tag team it, if that's what you decide to do, if one brother's knocked down, another one jumps into the ring, fine with me. I've got 5 stones. I'll take on the whole tag team, you see. You got to love this guy. He says, send me the whole family. I'm ready. Whatever you choose to do, fine by me. He takes these 5 stones, one for Golly and the other 4 for his brothers, should they choose to come. And here he goes. He drew near, last phrase of verse 40, to the big Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And when the Philistine, verse 42, looked about and saw David, he disdained him, despised him. For he was but a youth, a young guy, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? David had a staff in his hand and a sling in the other, a stick. Am I a dog? Are you going to beat me like you would beat a dog with a stick or play fetch? What do you think you're doing? Am I a dog that you come to me like this? What kind of a joke is this? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom, by the way, you have defied. You're in trouble, big guy. This day, David goes on to say, will the Lord deliver you into my hand? I will smite you and take your head off. And I will give the carcasses, of the host of the Philistines to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. In other words, you guys are dead meat. And all the assembly, David goes on to say, verse 47, shall know this day that the Lord saveth not with sword nor spear. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran. I would too. But he didn't run away from the Philistine that day. He ran toward the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took from thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead that the stone sunk into his forehead. Interesting, because recent discoveries have pointed out or brought out Philistine armor was made up in such a way that on the helmet they did have visors that would close over the face, kind of like you see knights in the days of the round table. But David was such a little runt and a little guy, at least in Goliath's eyes, he kicks open his visor to try and find the guy down there somewhere, so to speak. And as he kicked open his visor on his helmet, it gave a window of opportunity, you see. And David puts that stone in his sling and whirls it round and around and lets it go. And it goes right through that window of opportunity, right into Goliath's skull. And as he was hit, he must have said, "Oh, nothing like that has ever entered into my head before." As that stone made its way right into his brain that day, he falls to the ground, 9.2 on the Richter scale. The whole earth would shake, and the army of the Philistines definitely would quake. David sunk this stone from his sling in the forehead of Goliath, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. But, problem, there was no sword in David's hand. David said earlier, "You're going down, I'm chopping off your head." But how do you do that with a slingshot? I mean, do you take the strings and that would take a long time. So what David does, he runs to where the Philistine had fallen down. He stands on the big guy. He took the sword of Goliath from the sheath, and he cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. Well, when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Verse 52, the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and chased the Philistines all the way till you come to the gates of Ekron. And the children of Israel, verse 53, they returned from chasing the Philistines and they just took the goods. They spoiled the tents. They took the stuff from the Philistine army. But David, verse 54, he took the head of the Philistine, Goliath, and he takes it all the way, miles away to Jerusalem. He put Goliath's armor, though, in his tent, but he's not letting go of this bloody head. How big was Goliath's head? It must have been huge. This big guy with his stumpy, bloody neck chopped off and veins hanging out and eyes rolled up and tongue, you know, whatever. David's got him by the hair and he's not letting go, you see. David had a victory. David knows how to get ahead in life, and he's not going to let go for anything. He's got a man. He hangs on to this head. Well, verse 55, when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, go out to the battle, he said to Abner, his general, "Whose son is this youth? Who is this guy?" Now you see, it had been some time since Saul had seen David. David played the harp, it's true, but some time has gone by, and now Saul doesn't recognize David anymore. "Who is this young guy? Who is this one?" And Abner said, "I don't know," verse 55 ends. "I can't say." And the king said to Abner, "Well, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. Find out who this guy is, you see." And as David returned from the slaughter, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. And David still has the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David said, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite, the man from Bethlehem." What a story. It really happened. This took place. A young kid takes on the biggest of men with a slingshot in hand and wins the victory. Incredibly. Now, you all have heard this story for many years and told it, many of you, to your kids, your grandkids too. We use this story, as we ought to, as an inspiration of how we need not fear whatever giants may come stomping into our lives. We don't need to be intimidated, afraid, because God is with us. And we've taught the lesson and we've applied it to our own lives, and it's true that we need not be afraid, huh? Not when God is with you. But you see, it's more than just an inspiration for us. It's an illustration that's been given to us, an important illustration. You see, when Jesus, our Lord, died, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, he appeared to two men, two of his followers, who didn't recognize him. They hadn't heard that Jesus had risen. They didn't recognize him. And they were walking on a road towards the village of Emmaus. And Luke's gospel tells the story how these guys were sad. They were hurting because of Jesus being crucified. And Jesus began to talk with them, they still not recognizing him. And it says, beginning with Moses, that is the Torah, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, going through all the history and the prophets, it says that Jesus, whom they didn't recognize, explained all things concerning himself. He took them right through the sacrifices, into the stories like this, all the way through the prophecies, and he pointed out how they all speak of him and point to him, illustrations of him. He's the sacrifice. He's the one pictured in the stories. He's the fulfiller of all those prophecies. And when their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus, they said, oh, how our hearts did burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us along the way and showed us all things concerning himself. That's the key to Bible study. It always pictures, points to, focuses on the person of Jesus Christ. And so in our story, would you look with me? Would you think it through quickly? This is a picture of Jesus, our champion, against a great big enemy called the devil, Goliath. Goliath, stomping where he ought not to stomp. Where? In the place of praise, Judah. He is in a world that he ought not to be, but he's there as an intimidator, as a dictator. His name, Goliath, his name means stripped. It means he is one who strips. He is one who takes away. Jesus called Satan, he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's a thief. He wants to strip you. Satan desires to strip us. Satan wants to strip me of joy, of happiness, of purpose, of peace, of heaven. Satan is determined to strip you and reduce us to nothing and damn us eternally. This adversary goes about, we are told, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Goliath, a picture of the devil. And this devil says, send me a man. Let's go one-on-one. Send me a champion. Let me take him on. Send me a man if you dare. Notice what he says. Choose you a man, verse 8, and let him come down to me. I like that phrase, come down to me. Because there would be a man chosen, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the greater than David, who would come down from heaven. He would leave his home in heaven, this one, to do battle with Goliath one-on-one. And to the winner goes the spoils for the whole family. Whichever family would be prospered would depend on which one would win. Several things to note here. Number one, in this parallel, in this picture, and then I'm going to make an important application, so stay tuned and follow this if you can. First of all, we see this parallel between David and the Son of David, Jesus Christ. We see them, first of all, sanctified by the Spirit, verse 12. sanctified by the Spirit. First, David. He was the eighth son. Now, eight is the number in the Bible of sanctification and new beginnings. David was the sanctified one, but he was the runt. The other brothers, hey, they were thought to be more qualified than he, at least by Samuel the prophet initially. But God said, no, the other seven, no. When David was finally brought in, come on in, David, who was out there watching the sheep. God whispered in Samuel's ear, this is the guy. This is the one. I've set him apart. I've sanctified him. And what did Samuel then do? He poured a horn of a flask of oil out on David's head. Now, oil is a symbol of what in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. But I want you to note, a horn of oil was poured on David's head. When Saul, the king who was presently serving, was anointed by Samuel, it was a vial of oil, a little bottle. David got a horn of oil, a great big flask, you see. Why? Because it's Jesus. Jesus is the anointed one. That's what the word Christ means, anointed one. And Hebrews 1, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Hebrews 1 says that he, Jesus, was anointed with the oil of gladness. The Spirit of God, the anointing of gladness, more than any of his fellows, more than any other, more than anyone else. Jesus was anointed. Oh, we've all been anointed, but not like Jesus. And David was anointed in a way that was greater than Saul in these days. Sanctified by the Spirit oil. David was anointed more than any other, even as was Jesus. Then, secondly, David and Jesus both sent by their fathers. We read in verse 17, Jesse, David's dad, said, take now this bread. Take now this bread to your brothers and check out and see how they're doing, David. Jesus was sent by the Father. Jesus was sent to us, not bringing us bread physically. He declared, I am the bread sent from heaven. It's me. Take, eat of my body. David was watching his father's flock when he was sent. Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd, who would give his life for the sheep. Sanctified by the Spirit was David and Jesus. Sent by the Father to help out the brothers who are going to go down in defeat. You see, in David's day, and it's true for you and me, Jesus came, the good shepherd, to care for us, whom he says, I'm not ashamed to call you brothers. He makes his way here.
Unfortunately, we're going to find out about this treasure on our next program because we've run out of time for today. Please join us next time as Pastor John continues to show us these parallels and then makes an important application. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We would like to remind you that on the Searchlight website, you can find Pastor John's teachings through the entire Bible. You can listen to the audio or watch the video of any of these teachings from the website at any time for no charge. The Searchlight website address is johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.